It's a real honour to have joining me on Static this evening in the studio, a man called Brightness, Alex Knight. How's things?
Very well, thank you.
It's good to see you on the other side of the microphone. Just a bloke from Lake Macquarie putting a record out this week.
Likewise.
It's been a good journey for Brightness. I mean, you almost sort of had the record out yourself a while ago. So it's stuff you've been working on for a while, isn't it?
Yeah, it's an album that I originally released on my own. And after being up on Bandcamp for about 4 months, I think, it got the attention of Johan and some people at Mushroom. And
4 months? What were they doing all that time? Well, snoozing? Supposed to be tastemakers, you know?
No. It's what happened was I really didn't promote it at all. And I had a friend in Newcastle tell me that, oh, you really should upload it to some radio stations. And I did that, and that's how it got heard.
How far out of your own sphere were you thinking about when you were recording the Brightness stuff? I mean, there's such a homemade charm about it. Were you making the songs initially for other people to hear, or just as a hobby, Alex?
I've always done it for as long as I've been able to do it, you know, going back to when I was 14. But I've spent most of my time playing drums in other bands, and I've always had this kind of in the background. But I guess I did it as a way of just seeing something through. It's a good feeling to actually just see something through the whole way, especially an album. It's a good kind of something to, you know, write up on the wall as a to-do thing.
So all those songs from when you were a 14-year-old, have you still got them? Like, was it like a diary or something?
Yeah, you can. Luckily, they're not on the internet in any form, but the cassettes. I used to record onto a 4-track cassette, Fostex cassette recorder, and dub them onto my computer and then burn them on CD and then sell them to my friends at school. But yeah, with this, I guess it was something that I always planned to do. I definitely never planned to do as a band or to do shows or anything like that. But that was something that I started to do because of the encouragement I had from, you know, the label, things like that, or the management. You know, I never planned to do that.
Well, as you said, you were sort of the bridesmaid for, you know, almost a decade as a drummer. Mm. You played in Tom Moore's post Mercy Arms outfit Canvas Kites in Sydney, and then you relocated to London to drum for Thomas from O Mercy's band after that band called Kins.
Kins, yeah.
What was it like sort of, you know, sitting up the back of those bands? What did you learn about doing the shows and putting bands into action?
I learned a lot from both the songwriters. I mean, in both bands, they were the only songwriter in the band. That was kind of like their vision.
You probably learned some good and bad things as well, right?
Yeah, I mean, I learned a lot. And I learned a lot about how the industry works, I guess, as well, from especially with Kins. We toured quite a lot and did the grind for a good 4 years. But in terms of how it's affected me, there's a simplicity to the songwriting of both those guys, which was really lacking from my stuff back when, you know, in high school. And after high school, I used to really kind of, it was like kind of maximize everything. And originally, it was
Linkin Park, you can say, right? It was thrash metal.
Oh, no. I was in a band in high school that was, pretty much a new metal band. But I was always doing my kind of, this kind of White Stripesy, Vinesy kind of thing in the background. But those two guys both had that kind of songwriting prowess that you can transmit your idea very clearly.
Did you ever show them your own songs? Or they stayed under the bed for a few more years?
Well, I never tried to foist my songs on either of them. And that wasn't out of any kind of, you know, because they're no good or anything like that. It was more just their vision. I'd rather this be just as good as it can be in its current form rather than trying to complicate things. Like, just, I never had that kind of competitiveness or anything like that. There was never any kind of power struggle in that sense.
The other catalyst seems to be, after all those years living in London playing in Kins, it was when you came back to Australia that Brightness happened. So did that clear your mind, or, you know, help to create a bit more of a vision or something when you were back home?
I definitely had a lot less on my plate. It would have been something that I would have done, I think, if the band had kept going, because I left the band in December 2015. It's hard to say, but I probably would have ended up doing some kind of release on my own and just, you know, maybe put it up on like the Kins Facebook, and that would have been it. But I mean, that's originally what Brightness was. I mean, I just put it up on the Kins Facebook thinking, oh, some of the Kins fans might like this, and they did. Well, you know, like a very small fraction, and then that was good enough for me. I just thought, well, that's that. I get on with my life now.
It also feels that a lot of the songs that have even made it onto the Brightness album were probably tracked live, and some even feel like they could have still been almost in their demo form. I mean, Waltz sounds like this.
Yeah, well, with Waltz, there was an earlier version that I'd done that wasn't working, and I was in my friend's bedroom. A friend, Alex Crosby, who helped me record and like encouraged me to record in the first place. He had a reel-to-reel just sitting in the corner of his room that he'd borrowed off someone. I can't remember what. I think he'd ever used it. It was just that kind of like, why don't we try that? It was there. It wasn't like, oh, I want it to sound really lo-fi or anything. It wasn't anything like that. It was like, this song's not really working. And we thought, what about that? And we did it in a couple of takes, and that was it. And it was just with one mic as well. Just, yeah.
Yeah, pure and simple. I mean, you're inviting the Elliott Smith comparisons in by calling a song Waltz, aren't you, Alex?
I honestly didn't think about that until afterwards. I guess originally it was an actual, like, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. And the original version was on piano, and I've always associated waltz with, you know, like love songs. I often effectively transmitted via the waltz format. And
so there's a few more versions of this song that might see the light of day down the road.
I hope not, because the other one was, it was so far from the mark. I remember thinking, why, I just abandoned it. And then it was like the last minute, so I tried that. And
did you treat a lot of the songs on this Brightness album kind of rough as well? Because while there's a beauty about them, there's also a bit of brutality. I mean, Queen Bee's got these chugging guitars in it. It's almost sort of death metal. You know, there's tape hiss and glitches and things like that on the record. Like, were you actually sort of putting them through the ringer to get them over the line?
I definitely pulled them through the ringer to make them sound right to me. It was like they didn't... I really didn't intend it to be such a fuzzy record. Everyone that's commented on it is, oh, you know, the lo-fi, fuzzy kind of thing. And I really didn't... It's when you're doing it with those kind of restricted means, it's sometimes overdriving things is the only way that it sounds kind of like alive. If you don't have the right kind of compressors and haven't done it in a proper studio, some things just don't breathe unless you overdrive them a bit. And in terms of Queen Bee or the songs that sound heavy, I've always loved really heavy music, so that's always going to be there, and it's going to get heavier.
You can hear a bit of the frustration that went into the making of the record as well at the very start of Waltz, because there's an in-studio, fucking hell, you know, is he trying to get something right?
Yeah.
You didn't think about cutting that bit out to, you know, not embarrass your parents?
No, that's what the tape sounds like. I didn't edit it or anything, as far as I can remember. There was frustration of working reel to reel, and if you screw up, you have to go all the back to the beginning and do the whole thing, and just one mic as well. So there wasn't any dropping in or anything. So I think we did two takes, and we ended up using the second take, and that was it.
Yeah, two take wonder.
So the first one was the one I screwed up, and I went, oh, and I think I forgot the lyrics or something. I screwed a line up because I was writing lyrics up until pretty late in the process, and so that song had a lot of changes made to it. There was an earlier version which had a different chorus, for example, and I think I was accidentally singing those lyrics, and it didn't take long. That was that. And I didn't really have to do anything to it. Yeah.
You had a little bit of help on the record. A couple of people have played some guitar and drums and things like that, but it's mostly you. But the song Talk To Me, I had some also help from an unlikely source, because it was based around a K.D. Lang drum beat or something, right?
Yeah. Yeah, who I'm a great fan of. And I imagine a lot of other songwriters do this, where they just get a drum loop and then work around that. But I would never want my songs to be... I wouldn't want the loop to just stay the whole song. It's not that kind of feeling, I guess. I like the choruses to kind of be, you know, alteration between parts and things like that.
And do you have to take the loop out at some point so you then don't get sued?
Yeah, well, originally I had it, and I thought that works perfectly, like pretty much the whole way through, and just layering things on top of it. So it is a loop, and that was sounds like an experiment in a way, but I mean, once I signed with IU, that was one of the first things I was like, yeah, I should... You know, this is the KD. But I've done lots of stuff to it, and it's only actually 2 seconds of that. It's only the first 2 seconds, and I just looped those, and I slowed it down. Oh, no, I sped it up.
Yeah. You're still worried if you went to court you wouldn't be able to defend yourself?
No, oh, no way. I mean...
Well, it also sounds like there's a long way to go with Brightness. You could make the studio record and do the big samples and pay money to clear them.
Yeah.
So this is just the start.
Yeah, I very much look forward to doing stuff in a proper studio. And like I said earlier, it wasn't necessarily a... I'm not, like, getting cozy in this quasi-bedroom lo-fi thing at all. I want the next thing to be a lot more kind of muscular.
Well, you're out of the studio tomorrow night to launch the album at the Botany View, which is exciting in itself.
Yeah.
And it's out tomorrow as well, Teething, so everything's happening this week.
Yeah.
We might have a listen to the biblical song off the record. We'll play Holy John.
Sounds good.
Thanks for the talk, Alex. We'll see you at the Botany View tomorrow night. This is Brightness on Static. Thanks.
Thank you.